Good evening to all our dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank our Heavenly Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving this wonderful opportunity to once again gather and study the sixth volume. So since last week, we have covered many part of the justification, and we also covered about the tentative justification. So till page number 117 we had covered. So this week, sixth volume, chapter 3, we'll start from 117. So, first paragraph, Joel brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. Receive not the grace of God in vain, but however much we may rejoice with such, and however much peace and joy may come to such believers seeking to walk in the way of righteousness, but avoiding the narrow way of sacrifice, we must in candor point out that such receive the grace of God in vain, 2 Corinthians 6:1, because the grace of God in the justification which they have received was indeed to be the stepping stone to the still greater privileges and blessing of the high calling of the new creation. God's grace is received in vain by such because they do not use this grand opportunity. The like of which was never before offered to any, and so far as the scriptures indicate, will never again be offered. They receive the grace of God in vain because the opportunities of restitution which will be accorded to them in the coming age will be accorded to all of the redeeming rest. God's grace in this age consists merely in the fact that they were made aware of his goodness in advance of the world, to the intent that through justification they might go on to the attainment of the call and to the sharing of the glorious prize to be given to the elect body of Christ, the royal priesthood.
Thank you, brother. So here in this paragraph, we see we study about the heading called as "Receive not the grace of God in vain." So what is this "Receive not the grace of God in vain"? Let us read on scripture. 2 Corinthians 6:1. 2 Corinthians 6:1. Anybody can read? Aman brother, a Roman sister. Okay. Gopal brother.
Okay, brother. 2 Corinthians 6:1. As co-workers, however, we also beseech that not in vain the favor of God ye welcome. Oh, sorry, brother.
So I think
I was
you read from
reading,
the one.
I wrote the hand, brother.
Okay.
We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain.
Yes. So you receive not the grace of God in vain. So what is this scripture tells? If you see this one, it says that we should not receive the grace of God in vain. Why? What is this grace of God? If you see, we all know very well that in the gospel age, God justifies the sinners and he forgives all of the sins. Now, on what terms and conditions, or what is the reason that God forgives the sin? Okay, there is one criteria. Let us read that condition that is given to us in Philippians 1:29. Can somebody read Philippians 1:29? Okay, Muna sister, can you read Philippians 1:29? Okay, Joel brother, please read.
For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him.
Very good. So it is not only to believe on him, but also to suffer with him. So this is the condition of the gospel age, to believe in Jesus Christ, and not only just believe, but after believing, immediately go and offer your bodies as living sacrifice and thus suffer for Christ's sake. So these two conditions, anybody willing to coming to Christ in the gospel age has to fulfill this condition. It is only because of fulfilling this condition that God justifies somebody. That means God completely waves off their sin. God completely forgives the sin and considers them as sinless. Okay. Now, if in case somebody in a gospel age, they decide that I am going to only believe in Jesus Christ, I am not going to offer my body as a living sacrifice. Why should I suffer with Christ? I just want to enjoy the blessings of Christ. I just want to have fellowship with God. I should pray to God and God should always listen to my prayers and he should bless me. If anybody thinks like that and he decides in his mind that he is not going to offer his body as a living sacrifice, that means that person is not willing to abide by the terms and conditions of the gospel age. What is that one? Believe in Christ and suffer with him. So once he decides that he doesn't want to suffer, that means he is actually receiving God's grace in vain. But all God has given him grace. What is the grace? Forgiveness of sins. You see, that is the grace of God. By reading the Bible now. Somebody read Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23. Munna sister, can you read if you're there?
Okay, brother. Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
You see, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. So eternal life through Jesus is gift, freely is gifted as the forgiveness of sins. So if anybody doesn't receive it, if anybody tells, I don't want to consecrate in the gospel age, then that means he is not using his opportunity of forgiveness of sins in the gospel age. He is telling indirectly to God, God, whatever forgiveness of sins you want to give to me, please give to me in the 1,000 years when God is going to give for the entire public. You see, that is must and should condition in the 1,000 years. But everybody will come back to life. They have no other choice. They have to come back to life. And they have to decide whether they're going to be obedient to God or not. So everybody's sins will be forgiven. So indirectly is telling, give me that opportunity. This opportunity what you are forgiving me in the gospel age, so that I may consecrate, so that I may suffer with you. I don't want to do that one. That means he is not appreciating God's grace. You see, first of all, there was no condition that God should forgive us. But yet, God forgived our sins. You see, he let off all our sins and given us his great grace. You see, that should always be remembered. That should not always be forgotten. That should be considered. David says, no? Lord, when I see the sun, moon, and the stars, the things which thou hast created, what is man that thou should consider him? And compared to all the things which God has created, man is nothing. But yet, God is much concerned about man. You see, he's given his own son. So any person who is going back from consecration, he is not appreciating the sacrifice of Christ. He is not appreciating that mercy of God. And that person is rejecting God's opportunity. So that is the meaning of using the grace of God in vain. What all forgiveness, what all provisions which God has made in the gospel is rejecting it. So those persons will get the opportunity only 1,000 years, not in the gospel age. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph. Amar brother, can you read, brother?
Okay, brother.
Okay. Your voice is quite low.
Okay. Looking out over the nominal Christian world, it seems evident that the great mass, even of the sincere believers, have never gone beyond this preliminary steps of justifications. They have tested that the Lord is gracious and that has sufficed them. They should instead, by this test, have been fully awakened to a greater hungering and thirsting after the righteousness, after truth, after further knowledges of the divine characters and plan, after further growth in grace and knowledge and love, and the attainment of further comprehensions of the divine will concerning them, which we will consider next under the head of sanctification.
Okay, thank you, brother. So that is what the condition of the, you see, Christian world is today. The great Babylon, you see, they all think that only believing in Jesus Christ is sufficient. They think, you see, believe in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. But after the sins are forgiven, what they have to do? They don't know. They think that they need to lead and live a new life. New life is what? Start everything from the beginning. Try to quit off sin. Try to give off sin and live a decent life. That they think is the real life of a Christian. Because they don't understand God's plan. They never attempt to taste and see the real grace of God. They think this is sufficient. You see, what is sufficient? Just believe in Jesus, receive the forgiveness, and live a happy life and get all the blessings from God. They think that is sufficient. They don't hunger and thirst for more truth, the in-depth truth, the strong meat in due season, and the divine plan. You see, they are not interested in that one. Therefore, if you see in the many in the Christian world, they come to the churches regularly, they take the Bible, they are very good people, very decent people, they don't commit sin, they don't speak any bad things, they don't do or see any bad things, but they are very good. But in the sight of God, is this the condition of the gospel age? If you see, no. It is not the condition of the gospel age. Such type of people, there are many in this world. Even though they don't believe Jesus Christ, there are so many people who are with good character. Just because they are having good character, does it mean that they are consecrated to the Lord? No. Therefore, dear brethren, you see, this is the condition of the Christian world. They are ignorant. They are blinded by the God of this world. You see, that's why Jesus compared this one to the wheat and the tares. Tares, they are tares. Beautiful tares. Paka tares. If you open the, you see, the cover of the wheat to see if there is wheat inside. There is no wheat at all. You see, because it's a tare. It looks like a beautiful wheat, but inside nothing is there. That's the condition of the Christian world today. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph, who can read?
I'll read, brother.
Okay, sir, please.
Okay, brother. So far as we can discern the advantage of the Tentatively justified refers merely to this present life and the relief which they now feel in present respect of God's gracious character and his future dealing with them. And yet their knowledge among the among this line is so meager that they sometimes think of its causes anxious thought, am I his own or am I not?
Okay, we can continue.
Okay, brother. The fact is that although Christ has been their wisdom up to the point of showing them their need of a savior and further of showing them something of the salvation provided in himself, yet it is not the divine plan that he should continue to be their wisdom and to guide them onto the deep thing of God, except as they shall by consecration and devotion become followers in his footstep. The unconsecrated believer is in no sense whatever a new creature, even though seeing something of the ways of God and his requirement, he be seeking to live a moral, reasonable, honest life in the world. He is still of the earth and earthly. He has never gone forward to exchange his human earthly rights, secured though Jesus, for the heavenly things to which the Lord through his sacrifice opened the door, as in the type of the Levites were not permitted to go unto the holy place of the tabernacle or even to see the things wherein so in an antitype. Unconsecrated believers are not allowed to enter to the deep thing of God or to see the appreciate their grandeurs, unless first they become members of the royal priesthood by a full consecration of themselves.
Thank you, sister. So, you see, the tentative justification, what we read last time. Why does God temporarily justify? What is the reason? It's because of this only. Because so many people, they don't go to the mode of consecration. They listen to the truth. You see, they believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't come to the further, you see, step, an important step of offering their bodies as a sacrifice. You see, after listening to the truth, they don't consecrate. Hence, if somebody is listening to the truth or in the mode of, you see, becoming a babes in Christ, God doesn't justify them permanently. Permanently, it doesn't forgive the sins. It is only on a temporary condition. Why? So, let me see if he consecrates or not. If he doesn't consecrate, that forgiveness of sins is taken off. Like, for example, if you join a company, immediately they don't make you permanent employee. You see, they put it on a notice period for 6 months, 3 months. They observe you, you see your work and everything. After you see, everything is satisfied. You see that your work is up to the mark, that you are really suitable for the permanent this one. Then only you will be given an appointment letter. The same way it is with God. This is what we see in the tabernacle. Remember the tabernacle condition? Outside was the court. And after you come to the court, you see, then only you can go to the holy and the most holy. So there were actually three, one gate and two veils were there. So you can come to the gate, but if you need to come inside the gate, you should open the gate and come from the gate. Now that gate is Jesus Christ. The surrounding was completely covered with the white linen cloth. That is justification. That is the righteousness of Christ. Only if you believe in Jesus Christ can you come inside. After believing Jesus, you become a priest. You see, you become a Levi. Sorry, you become a Levi. So once if you're a Levi, you're free to go in the court. But can you enter the most holy or the holy? No, you can't go inside the holy. You can't see the candlestick. You can't see that table of the showbread. You can't see that incense altar. To see all those things, you should be a priest. A priest is the one who sacrifices. Levi is the one who doesn't sacrifice, but just supports the priest. This is the condition of the believer. The whole Christian world is just in a court. Hence, they don't have the in-depth knowledge of the Bible. They are only having the knowledge of the laver. Water was there in the laver. Water signifies the word of God. You see, that's a pure water, clear, crystal clear, simple truths. You see, that was satisfying for them. Similarly, the Christian world today are in that condition. But how long can they remain in that condition? They can't remain in that condition forever. It's a time period for it also. So once they decide they don't want to come further, they will be cashed out. Okay, thank you. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph. Okay. Muna, sister, can you read?
Okay, brother. To expect special preference and favor at the Lord's hand during the millennial age because of having received his favor in the present life in vain would seem a good deal like expecting a special blessing because a previous blessing had been misused or little valued. Would it not be in general keeping with the divine dealings in the past if we should find that some who have not been favored during this gospel age would be granted the chief favor during the coming age? Wouldn't this be considerably in line with our Lord's words, "There are last which shall be first, and first which shall be last"? Indeed, the apostle distinctly points out that when the new creation shall have been completed and the millennial is ushered in, God's special favor will pass again to natural Israel from whom it was taken at the beginning of this gospel age. Romans 11:25-32.
Very good, sir. So what can be expected from this picture, this type of people? You see, they have rejected the grace of God in the gospel age. So do you think that even in the 1,000 years, you see, if there is any special grace that has to be given to them? No. Special grace, special mercy, special provisions was given now. What is a special provision? Whatever we commit sin, we immediately can go to Christ and cleanse it immediately. But in 1,000 years, it won't be like that. Each and every sin will receive chastisement. They have to correct themselves. They have to forcefully do it. There is no other option at all. But now we have the robe of righteousness that covers the sin. But in Christ's kingdom, there is no robe of righteousness to cover their sin. Their sins, virgin Adamic sin, will be forgiven. Whatever their sin they commit, for that one they will get, you see, chastisement then and there itself. So it won't be very easy for them in the 1,000 years. So we can't expect anything better from them in the 1,000 years. Therefore, Jesus said, no, many that are last shall be first. First shall be last. You see, these were the first people in God's plan, gospel age. They're given the first opportunity to be the first fruits of Christ, to come to the heavenly salvation. They rejected it. Hence, they will be last. When? In Christ's kingdom. And the whole world are resurrected. The whole world will come first. But these type of people who rejected God's grace, who not come to the mode of consecration, or decided not to consecrate, they've been the last. Why? Because so many people were willing to enter, but they could not enter. But these, even then, they had the opportunity, they could not come in. Hence, their brethren, you see, they will be very difficult even to return properly in the kingdom. It is not an easy task. So we can't expect any good things or any better things or any special privilege to these type of people. Okay. Next paragraph. Gopal brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. The justified to fellowship with God previous to this age, who maintain their justification and who, as a reward, will be made princes in all the earth under the heavenly kingdom, maintained in at the cost of earthly self-denials. Hebrew 11 verse 35. Those of the present age who will rightly use and maintain their justification must do at the cost of the flesh. The little flock, faithful to an exceptional degree, will lay down their lives in the service of the truth and of the brethren, and thus be copies of the captain of our salvation. The second class, considered elsewhere as the great company, must attend to their reward at the cost of the flesh also. Though, because of less zeal in sacrificing, they lose the great reward of the new creation and its kingdom privileges. These three classes seem to be the only ones profited beyond the present life by the special opportunities of this age of justification by faith.
Thank you. So, if you read about the ancient worthies, you see, in Hebrews 11:35, we see that they were promised a better resurrection. And it goes on to tell that these all died in faith. You see, in faith, they all obtained a good report. So, they are all excellent. They got a good report from God. They are all wonderful children of God. You see, and they were justified. For what? Not for heavenly salvation, just for earthly salvation only. They were ready to deny so much things to God. Imagine, dear brethren, lot of examples are there in the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Abraham decided to leave his country. Jacob was ready to become a pauper. Joseph was ready to quit his, pleasure. You see, he did not want to enjoy all these things. Moses, though he was supposed to be a king and pharaoh of Egypt, he left all those things. So many examples are there, children. The sufferings of the prophet. Why did they do all these things? Just because they were justified to be friend of God. What is the reward? Earthly salvation. For this only they sacrificed so much means how much zeal, how much energy the people in the gospel age should have. Hence, you see, those who have less zeal, they come to the great material class. Those who have more zeal and completely, you see, fulfill the vow of consecration, they become the little flock. So, these three classes are the people who are getting the benefit of justification. Ancient worthies, great multitude, and the little flock. Okay, next paragraph. Joel brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. The operations of the kingdom under the light of full knowledge and along the lines of works will for various reasons evidently appeal most strongly at first to Israel after the flesh, who, when their blindness shall be torn away, will become exceedingly zealous for the Lord's anointed, saying, as represented in the prophecy, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. Isaiah 25:9. But while Israel will naturally be the first to fall in lying under the new order of things, the blessings and opportunities of the kingdom shall, thank God, be rapidly extended throughout the world to the intent that all nations may become children of Abraham in the sense that they will participate in the blessings promised to him, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
Thank you, Buddha. So in the kingdom, you see, when the complete, you see, Satan is bound and the complete understanding of the word of God is open to the whole world. You see, who will be the first to recognize this truth? If you see, it will be Israel. Why? Because Israel had so much of light already. But they blinded themselves. You see, they hesitated to obey the word of God. Though it was very clear to them, God has clearly revealed to them, they did not obey it. They did not take it into consideration. You see, hence they were rejected. But imagine if the same things are again given in the 1,000 years, which are more clear light, where Satan is not influenced. You see, where Satan is not there at all to influence them to disobedience, what will happen now? They will realize the mistake. They will be the first people to accept the truth. They will be the first people to accept Christ. So, many that are last should be first. The first opportunity to become the partakers of the heavenly salvation was given to Israel. They were rejected, they lost it. But in Christ's kingdom, you see, they were first, they became last. But in Christ's kingdom, they will again become first. So, dear brethren, you see, they will all become the children of Abraham. Not only Israel, the whole world will become children of Abraham. Yes, God promised Abraham, no? Yeah. What did God promise? You shall be a father of many nations, not only one nation. He told many nations. In the 1,000 years, it will be very easy, you see, to convert the whole world. You know why? Because the whole world, majority of the world, population is what? You see, the majority of the world population is consumed of Christians and Muslims. Christians, when the 1,000 years the Bible is opened, they will come. But what about the Muslims? You see, only one person is required to tell the truth to the Muslim. Abraham will come and tell in the resurrection that on Mount Moriah, I offered Isaac, not Ishmael. Isaac is the real son. If he tells, all the Muslim nations, all the Muslim people, you see, they obey Abraham. They were sent to the word of Abraham. So each and every Muslim will get converted to, you see, Lord. They will become the children of Abraham, seed of Abraham. Today, even today, they believe they are the seed of Abraham. But when they realize that they are mistaken, they will immediately correct themselves. So, this is how the peaceable kingdom should be established on earth. Okay. Now, next paragraph. Next paragraph. Gopal brother, can you read? It's a little bit large.
Okay, brother.
Okay, read slowly.
Okay, brother. Christ made unto us sanctification, as the wisdom or knowledge of God came to us as a result of our Lord Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf, and as justification then came through his merit when we accepted his atonement and fully consecrated our all to God, so also is our sanctification through him. No man can sanctify himself in the sense of causing himself to be accepted and adopted into God's family of the new creation begotten by his Spirit. John 1:13, Hebrew 5:4. As the merit of Christ was necessary to our justification, So his acceptance of us as members of his body, the under royal priesthood, and his continued aid are indispensable to the making of our calling and our election sure. The apostle condemns some for not holding the head, Colossians 2 verse 19. And we perceive that such a recognition of Christ Jesus as not only the Redeemer from sin, but as the head, representative, guide, instructor, and preserver of the body, the church, is essential to each member of it. Our Lord points out this necessity of our continuance under his care, saying repeatedly, "Abide in me," as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. John 15 verse 4. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15 verse 7. The apostle points out this same necessity for abiding in Christ, saying, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Hebrew 10 verse 31. He proceeds to point out his meaning by quoting from the prophecy, "For our God is a consuming fire. God's love, no less than his justice, burns against all sin, and all unrighteousness is sin. He cannot look upon or recognize sin. Hence, he has provided not for the preservation of sinners, but for their rescue from sickness and from its penalty of destruction."
Thank you, brother. So, the next subheading in this volume, the very, very important part is sanctification. Actually, the other word for sanctification is consecration. So, the entire consecration, the consecration life, and how the little flock and a great multitude are separated, you see, and the people about second death and all is given in this subheading. So, consecration. So, consecration, sanctification. So, who has to sanctify us? Who has to consecrate us? If you see, we need to submit to God. But God has to accept our consecration. That is very, very important part. You see, in the olden days, you see, just because he was born in a tribe of Levi, anybody could not go and stand before God and tell, "Oh, I am going to be a priest, God. So I am going to do your work from today. Okay, so I'll do it. That's all." Nobody could say that one. Nobody could say that, "Please accept me also." Nobody could do that one. God was the one who was making the selection. The same thing happened with Aaron, no? You see, Aaron was the one who was a priest, was doing the priesthood and all, Aaron and his family. But how all the other Levites, you see, they began to grumble, "Why only Aaron? Why so special about Aaron?" So God told, "Okay, no problem. If they feel that dissatisfied, okay, let us do a test. Let them all bring an almond stick. You see, from each tribe, and let them keep it in the tabernacle." You see, inside the holy. So what happened? The next day, you see, Aaron's rod was budded and fruit, flower was there, but all the others were not there at all. It just remained the same thing. So it's not that we should, accept it. God should accept. We should offer. God should accept our offer. Hence, if you see, Debran, many people, they offer themselves in consecration, but it might be that God might not accept their consecration also. You see, there are some possibilities. Hence, you see, Debran, why? Because they won't have done it in a proper attitude, proper mindset. Hence, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and I in you, then only you ask whatever you want, God will answer your prayer. Whatever you ask in my name, God shall do it." Hence, Jesus gives the comparison of the vine and the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches, Father is a husbandman. You see, if you abide in me, then only can you give fruit. If you're not in abiding me, if you're not becoming the, part of that branch, you can't give fruit. So, dear brethren, That is very important. So to abide in Christ after God accepting, another part is there. That means we should remain there. You see, not just be just like that. Remain in there means we should take all the supplements from that, you see, branch. And we should start giving fruit. Something, the result has to happen. You just can't be dummy like just like that. You see. So these things has to happen. You see. Therefore, dear brethren, this is a step of consecration. Okay. Next paragraph. Muna sister, can you read?
Okay, brother. This assures us in harmony with various declarations of Scripture that the time is coming when sin and sinners, with the concomitants of sin and pain and sorrow and dying with, will be done away. Thank God, we can rejoice also in this feature of the divine character that God is a consuming fire, when we know that He has provided for us a refuge in Christ Jesus for the period of our unwilling imperfection, and that He has provided in Him also for our ultimate deliverance from sin and death and every weakness, into His own perfect likeness. For the new creation, the perfection of the divine nature and its fullness, for the great company, the perfection on the plane somewhat corresponding to that of angels, to be the ministers, companion of the glorified church, the virgins, her companions, which follow her. Psalm 45:14. The ancient worthies next will be perfect in the human nature, image of God in the flesh, and glorified representatives of the heavenly kingdom and channels of divine blessing to all the families of the earth. Ultimately, when the trials and opportunities and testing of the millennial age shall have brought all the willing and obedient to perfection and have demonstrated their loyalty to God, this also shall have attained to the human perfection, the image of God in the flesh, and amongst all these God's will shall then be so perfectly understood and obeyed, and that heartily, that He will no longer be to them as a consuming fire, because all their dross shall have been purged away under the discipline of the great Mediator, to whose charge all were committed by the Father's love and wisdom. Christ shall then see of all the travail of His soul and be satisfied with the results.
Thank you, sister. So, in the last paragraph, we read that Jesus, Heavenly Father is a consuming fire. What does it mean? That means He's very strict in His justice. He never violates His justice. You see? So, even let it be a small thing, you see, that has to be harmonized with God's justice. Like, for example, Adam ate on fruit. That could have been forgiven. He has told us to, he's taught us to forgive 7 times 70. You see, 490 times. He could have forgiven Adam. Why did he not forgive? Because the foundation of His throne is justice. So, if you see in this way, you see, we can really tell that in the 1,000 years, as the days goes on, complete sin and the sinful condition from this world will be completely taken away. How? You see, here it is, we should thank God and rejoice in the divine plan, the divine character. You see, that God has made a beautiful plan for deliverance of each and every human beings from sin and death. Each and every weaknesses shall be made perfect. You see how the little flock will be resurrected in the divine nature. You see, they shall be partakers of the divine nature because they are the more than conquerors. They will be along with the Christ in a thousand years. They will rule with Christ. They will be sitting next to the Father. You see, next to Jesus Christ. You see, they will be the divine nature. The speciality of the divine nature is that there is no death at all. Next comes whom? Next comes the great multitude. You see, they could not make to the, you see, the, what do you say, that little flock because of their certain bit of weaknesses. Certain bit of not willing to sacrifice to the Lord. Not obedient to the covenant of sacrifice. So hence, dear brethren, the great multitude, they fall into the second category. Now, what is the second category? You know, how will the, you see, great multitude be? Can anybody tell me? How will the great multitude be in the resurrection? In what nature will they be? And what spiritual condition will they be? Do we have any examples of, like, the great multitude will be like this? Do you have any example? Tell me, Joel brother, Munaster, Ram brother, Gopal brother. So how will the great multitude be resurrected? In what nature?
Angelic.
Very good. See, they will be resurrected in the angelic nature. They shall be like angels. That means what? They will be having the heavenly salvation. You see, they will be having the spiritual bodies, but they will be in the angelic nature. Angelic nature means what? Death is always a possibility for them. But for divine nature, no death at all, no death at possibility at all, because they have proven faithfulness to God until the death. You see, but the great multitude, they have not proven their faithfulness. You see, lack of zeal, energy to, you see, die for the Lord. To sacrifice for the Lord. So these will be resurrected in the angelic nature. So these will assist the church in the thousand years in the world's administration. So what work they will assist? What the angels are doing now? How they are assisting God and Jesus Christ now? You see, if God has to send a message from heaven to earth, how does God send? He sends to the angels. Angels come here. They give the message, they deliver the message of God and return back. So similarly, in Christ's kingdom, these great multitude will be given the opportunity to assist the little flock and Jesus Christ. They will be like policemen in this earth. You see, when somebody wants to sin, immediately they will go and completely, you see, do a lot of things and bring them to, you see, sinless condition. They'll stop a man from committing crime and sin. But this one we'll see, see in the coming days. Okay? But next, who will come into the picture? Whose sins will be blotted out? Who will not come to the wrath of God? God's anger, if you see, it is the ancient worthies. They shall be resurrected, perfect human beings. Image of God, Adam. Adam was in the image of God. Similarly, ancient worthies will be in the condition of Adam. As Jesus Christ was in the first advent, you see, when Jesus Christ was come at the first advent, how was he? He was Son of God. He was in the image of God. He was called as the second Adam. So same condition, the ancient worthies will be resurrected. Imagine if ancient worthies come in the perfection of Jesus. You see, how matured they will be. How beautiful they will be, the behavior. If they start controlling the affairs of this world, how beautiful the peaceable kingdom shall be established. So, what will happen is that in the thousand years, all willing and obedient will be brought to perfection. Through them, the whole world, you see, will be brought to perfection. It will be demonstrated to the whole world what obedience brings to God. What is the obedience? What is the reward that the people get if they are obedient to God? They will show the ancient worthies. They show the great multitude. They show the little flock. So these conditions, you see, people will come back to perfection. So, dear brethren, this is how the sin will be purged out from the world. Therefore, what does the Bible say? You see, let us read verse Isaiah 53, 12. Please read Isaiah 53, 12. Read Isaiah 53, 12, somebody.
Isaiah 53 verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his souls unto death,
You
and
see, he
he
had
was.
poured out his soul unto death. That is the reason. Jesus poured out his soul unto death, sacrificed everything unto death. That is the reason God is going to divide his portion among the strong. Who is stronger than Jesus? Tell me, who is stronger than Jesus?
No one.
Almighty God. So what is the difference between Jesus and God? There's only one difference. What is the difference? Tell me, what is the difference between Jesus and God? Only one difference is there. Primary, main, one difference is there. Now tell
God
me.
has no beginning and
Very good. He has no beginning, he has beginning. Another, when concerned in the state of nature, what is the difference? What is the difference between their nature?
Father is immortal, but Jesus Christ, he have to died for the whole mankind.
Very good. Then only got immortality. So that portion of the strong, that immortality portion which only God had, that is going to be shared with Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's poured out his soul unto death. Then continue, brother.
And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Now read verse 10.
Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. What is the travail of his soul and be satisfied? The way Jesus suffered everything, you see, he will be satisfied when we will see the result of all these things. Imagine if we, how do we study during the exams? We take all interest, put all our efforts, you see, take so much of stress, so much of pain, we sacrifice so many things studying for the exam. But once the exams are over, once the results have come, if you have got a first rank, we'll be so happy. We won't remember about this sufferings and trials what we faced during the study of our exam. That is what is going to happen the 1,000 years. When Jesus sees the results in the 1,000 years, we'll all be satisfied. You see that my sacrifice was worth enough. Okay? So we'll stop here. We'll continue next week. Anybody has got any doubts, any questions? Anybody, any doubts, any questions?
No, brother. Thank you, brother.
Okay, so in the end, we'll have a word of prayer. We'll finish. Gopal brother, can you offer a prayer?
Okay, brother. Let's pray. सर्वशक्तिमान परमेश्वर पिता, तपाईँलाई धन्यवाद. परमेश्वर बुवा, तपाईँलाई आजको दिनमा फेरि पनि यहाँ सामाजिक सञ्जाल मार्फत तपाईँको वचन बुझ्नलाई तपाईँले हामीलाई यो समय दिनुभएको छ, जसको लागि धेरै धेरै धन्यवाद भन्न चाहन्छौँ. अनि आजको समयमा, यस समयमा पनि परमेश्वर तपाईँको गहिरा र गुप्तका वचनहरू अनि हामीले सुन्यौँ, ती वचनहरूलाई अझै गहिरेर अनि मनन गर्न अनि हामीलाई स्वाध्ययन गर्नको निम्ति तपाईँले हामी सबैलाई सहायता गर्नुहोस् भन्ने कुरा प्रार्थना गर्न चाहन्छु। धन्यवाद परमेश्वरको यो समयको लागि। सराध महिमा प्रशंसा तपाईँलाई नै मास्टर त्यसो क्रिस्टको उच्च अनि पवित्र नाममा आमेन।
Amen, amen. Thank you. God bless. Good night.
Thank you, brother.
Good
Bye
night,
bye.
brother.
Thank you,
Thank you
Romy
so
sir.
much.
Thank you, brother.
Bye, Amar brother. Bye, Romy sir. Joel brother, good night. Gopal brother, good
Good
night.
night, brother.
Bye
Good
bye.
night, brother.
Brother,
Thank
good
you, brother.
night. Bye, everybody.
Good night, brother.